Blog Talk Radio.
There is it, Mr. Dukeman. I am Dr. Henri Ducharme, and this is Dr. Georg Marcink, and we will need to examine you by giving you some simple tests.
Fine, fine, but no rectal probes, okay? I'm saving some things for my next honeymoon.
Quiet! I will show you a picture. You will tell me what you see.
And driving, and shopping, and eating, and working. Somewhere, somehow, they all got chewed up and spit back out. They don't taste like living anymore. Don't you see what it's like in this deranged, wearing blender of a world? Every day is an agonizing ordeal, like balancing a pot of scalding water on your head while people whip your legs and butt. Ah, you never forget your senior prom. You think I'm sick? Well, the only disease I've got is modern life, a schnut-busting gauntlet of inefficiency and misery that's one long parade of letdowns, put-downs, trickle-downs, shut-outs, freeze-outs, sell-outs, numb-nuts, nick-and-puts, and nimrods, all making every day as much fun as waxing a flaming Pontiac with your tongue. Where even if you do luck into the possibility of some fleeting pleasure, like, say, if some nymphomaniac telephone operators with the muscle control of Romanian mat slappers agree to a little strip air hockey, it'll be over before it starts, because some vowel-lacking, feta-reeking cab jockey slams his checker up your hatchback, and the cab is owned by some piñata spank from a Santeria cult in Wacalpa who starts shaking chicken bones at you and gives you a boil on your neck so big all it needs is Michael Jordan's autograph to make it complete. And even with all this, I still drag my sorry butt off the ceiling every morning and stick my face in the reaping machine for one more day, knowing when it's time to flash the cosmic card key at those pearly gates, I won't be in the coffin anyway, because some underhanded undertaker sold my heart, pancreas, and other assorted good and plenty to that same Santeria cult. So does anybody really wonder why anybody is hanging on to sanity by the atoms on the tips of their fingernails while life dirty dances on their digits? And is it really any wonder that I seem deranged?
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of UF Tridomi Radio. And tonight's our guest is going to be Karen Sostato of www.taxfree15.com. And we're going to be talking about what's up and coming for the May strike and what her plans are. Last month's strike was pretty much international. It wasn't just an American thing. It was all over. It was happening in Europe as well, so I'm really excited about having her on the show tonight. The last time she was on, we got a lot of rave reviews about her. Everybody was commenting on how uplifting of a show and how positive of a show it was and how positive of a guest she was. So I'm really excited to have her back on again. A couple things I wanted to go over first, though. There's a friend of mine, Northwest Wolfpack, Daryl and Jen. They do a lot of things for the U of Tridomi campaign. Jen writes articles left and right for us. She does a lot of research. Daryl does a ton of research. In fact, he researched every sheriff, or he went and got all the contact information for every single sheriff in a three-state region. That took a long time to do that because most of these sheriffs don't want to give out their information. You can't find their information. So he put a lot of work out there. Daryl right now is in pretty bad health. Apparently, he's having a lot of back problems. He was hit by a drunk driver years ago, or a couple of years ago, or a few years ago, and right now his back and his entire bed, they're looking at having to do multiple operations. So, you know, if everybody could just take a moment out there and just wish Daryl and his family the best of luck, pray if you pray, wish him the best of luck either way, whatever it is, just take a moment and, remember that there's real people out there, real living, breathing people out there every day who are facing life's problems, and some of those problems are not of our own creation. And just remember that, however bad life seems to get, no matter what kind of problems you have in life, there's always somebody out there who's got it a lot worse. And we just really need to remember that there's real people involved in this world out there, real people, real lives, and anymore so much we get wrapped up in the news, the media, what's going on around the world, and we forget about our own personal lives, the people that are in our lives, the people that affect us, the people that we care about. So today I'm going to jot down an actual handwritten letter, lick a stamp, and send one out. Wish them the best of luck. Let them know if there's anything that they need. I'm going to be there for them. It's a personal touch anymore that we forget about. It's a personal contact in the world, in this world of text messaging, emails, and instant messaging. It's You know, phone calls seem to be a thing of the past, and letters have gone the way of the dinosaur already, it seems. So, me personally, I try to take as much personal time. I'm beginning to take as much personal time as I can and to make those, you know, make those personal connections with people again. I'm trying to phase out email with close friends, trying to spend more time on the phone with them. So, something to think about. Something else that I wanted to talk about, I made mention to it the other day on my last show, but I wanted to mention it again. Well, you know, while we're hearing all over the news about the oil rig spill and the immigration problems going on, the riots and everything else, there's two very important things that are going on right now. Hillary Clinton submitted a bill to the Senate, and it's a UN small arms treaty. This would make gun ownership under the direct jurisdiction of UN charter. Your guns could be taxed if you were allowed to own them, yada, yada. Not hearing a lot about that. Even more important, well, just as important, honestly, being well, is the UN convention that's going on. It's the UN Convention of Children. This is also happening right now, in fact, as we speak, and it's been happening. This new UN Convention of Children is going to submit laws to all the countries of the world that they want passed that will make it possible for your child or your children to challenge any regulation that you as a parent place on them. For instance, if your daughter wants to walk out of the house in a 2-inch miniskirt and no panties, and you say no, you could find yourself in international court very shortly having to answer for why you would not allow her to do this. And then the courts would decide whether you have the right to place those restrictions on her or not. You know, a long time ago, Plato, 2,300 years ago in his book, The Republic, he said that the very first thing you must do in order to take over a people is you must take their children. He goes, once you indoctrinate an entire generation of children into state thinking, the country is yours. Bertrand Russell back in 1952, 54, I forgot which year, he wrote a book called The Impact of Science on Society. Now, Bertrand Russell is a major player, and if you don't know who he is, you should. All of our child psychology that we see today, him. Him. Sick, disgusting man. The things he did in his school that he opened up in England that the Queen gave him a royal charter for. So it was a royal sanctioned school. The things he did. Today would have people in jail for child molestation, child pornography. He was given awards for it. Some of the things that he promoted were group masturbation being taught in school by the age of 5. And what do we have today now? We have legislation going up to teach children how to masturbate in school starting around 5 years old. You know, he said that right now, with the technology the way it was in the 50s, they could change an entire generation within 5 years. They could change an entire culture within 5 short years. Not just a generation of children, but the entire culture of people within 5 short years. And one of the first ways to do it is through the children. Child Protective Services was, that was a brainchild of people like Julian Huxley and Bertrand Russell as well. So do what you feel you need to do. Do what you can. Be aware of what's going on around there and know that they are coming after your children. Your children are important to them. And Karen had a wonderful idea last month in her tax strike, which was to take your children out of school for 4 days and teach them real values, reconnect as a family. Teach them what is important, and not what the state-controlled schools say is important. I think that's something that all of us should do. We spend very little time with our children as a whole in North America. We let them raise each other. We let the schools raise them. We let TV raise them. And there's very little interaction. And then we wonder what's wrong with our country. We wonder why our children are out of control and why they're rampaging on the streets, causing all kinds of havoc. Maybe that's why. So with that being said, I just wanted to put those couple thoughts out there, and I wanted to get right into the rest of the show with Karen. So Karen, welcome. So glad to have you again.
Thank you, Randy. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you. I enjoy our talks. So tell us, what is going on? What's happening? What's new? What's going on with Tax-Free 15?
Well, we were successful last month in uniting internationally. So we have our site at taxfree15.org.uk, and Jane over there in the UK. We also have Jen over there in the UK has Fosty's blog.blogspot.com. Actually, you can get those sites too if you go to taxfree15.com. They're under my fave. So, and we've got Christian, who's an artist in French, he's in France, and he is putting out information also supporting the strike. And what it's about is basically, it goes right with what you were talking about. I mean, we've got so much out there that is going on. We have to get back to living our own lives and to recognize that all we need is clean air, clean water, healthy food, self-sufficient communities, and integrity. And we can give those to ourselves and each other. Those are all things governments take away from us. So it's about waking up, educating ourselves, and recognizing that every day we have a choice to be part of the problem or part of the solution. And if you want to be part of the solution, you have to actively be planning for your future off the grid and joining us on the 15th of this May in a corporate economic boycott. Don't buy a single solitary thing from a big corporation. That's a real important thing because the corporations are the ones who are really running this. We're all held captive by the same group of criminals in the background, this criminal dominant minority, and as long as we keep living our lives as usual, they win and we pay. So the whole point behind Tax-Free 15 is keep your money in your pocket the 15th of every month. Take at least 15 minutes to figure out who you want to be and where you want to be, because as it gets more and more blatantly obvious that we are being ripped off, people are going to be angry. They're going to be looking for things to do. People in Greece are rioting. They're throwing firebombs at banks. We don't want that to happen here, folks. What we do want is for you to be self-sufficient, for you to have at least 3 months worth of storable food so that if the worst happens, you're prepared. If it doesn't happen, great. You can eat the food you stored. You can drink the water. You can utilize your supplies. But you won't be caught off guard.
You know, I agree with you. And I've been saying this for years, and I got this from other people who've been saying it for decades. You know, in the news and the media, all we ever hear about is how we are consumers. They don't even call us people anymore. They don't even call us citizens. They don't call us anything. They now refer to us as consumers because that's all we are.
Useless eaters.
And yet, through their derogatory terminology about us, we forget that we get power from that very label itself. We get the power of the purse string. And I remember back in '86, I was sitting in Murray Rothbard's class, and we were talking about free markets. And I presented the question to him. I said, "What happened if everybody just stopped spending?" And I saw his face light up. And he got this twinkle in his eye, and it was great. And he said, if everybody stopped spending, we could be free again.
We could be. Quickly, easily, and peacefully. And that's it, too. We had people last month, but we decided, okay, let's see if we can build some more numbers and really rally behind this, because you don't have to belong to any particular political party. As a matter of fact, we're trying to reach out to everybody to set our labels aside. We have so much corruption at the top. It is absolutely unbelievable. And the more we think that we're going to change it by having a new Republican in there or changing a Democrat, you know, it's just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It is a sinking ship. Our government is going down. They're just so corrupt. It is not going to be able to self-sustain when the people finally decide, wait a minute, you mean this BP oil rig thing eventually with all their loopholes means that we'll pay for it? Yeah, that's what it means. It means that we're going to pay for the Greek bailout. Same bankers in the background. We've all been lied to, stolen from, manipulated. Our ancestors, some of them have been murdered. Some of our family members have been murdered. We've got more people dying in Iraq. We're using drones. We're spending over $1 billion a week on war. I heard Dee Dee Kidd say we were spending $10 billion a week on war. And yet our bankers can't seem to figure out that there are different ways to go about this because they make money off war. That's their biggest deal, that and population control. So when we recognize that we're paying for this, every day we're paying for this, they're using unmanned drones in Pakistan, folks. They're just murdering people over here. Are, at least according to Alan Watt, people who are sitting over here in Los Angeles are using the technology, and they're the ones manning the unmanned drones that they send off to kill people, and then they walk out, you know, into the nice sunshine when they finish their daily work. This is ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. It's time to pull out of the system, to start deciding for yourself, you know, what do you need? What do you need, really, and where do you want to be? Because it is going to hit the fan, folks. It's getting closer every single solitary day.
You know, something you commented on was the fact that, you know, we're killing people here in America, and that's very true. And I wanted to give a little bit of history about those predator drones, but not the predator drones themselves, but the control mechanism of it, the little joystick, you know, the game controller they use for it. That was created by Sony, and in fact, the PS3, you know, the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. That controller was specifically created by Sony for the military, and then they gave it to us. And now, reports are coming out that the military is actually using 15, 16, 17-year-old kids who score incredibly high on these video games. They're gathering the data when kids get online and they play against each other, you know, through on the internet.
Yeah.
And they recruit those kids. They recruit these kids because these kids already have it. They already know what they're doing.
Exactly.
They're masters of it. So now it's, again, your children. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And no, well, it's a whole PlayStation generation, and we don't think about the fact that they've been raised specifically because the knowledge that they gain through playing the games and their dexterity would fit for this type of action completely. It's tailor-made. You know, we don't even recognize that our children are being taught from an early age to be murderers because it's a computer game. But it's more and more violent, and they're used to that as well. They're used to it. They're becoming used to just not having the ability to really think or go outside or play for themselves. They're stuck in computers all day long. They're playing games. The games are all about violence. You know, it is really amazing how well in America we have totally been dumbed down, and our children are going to pay the consequences. Our future is looking very bleak unless we come together. We can change it in an instant when we recognize that, when we realize it's not a coincidence or an accident.
You know, it's very true, and that's something that... That's something that most, you know, most Americans aren't, when we look at, actually most people, it's not even Americans, it's people around the globe. You know, we talk about the psychology, and that's all we're really looking at, is the psychology of social control, sociology. And when people are in a constant state of stress, anxiety, or fear, I mean, look, everything on the news induces stress, anxiety, and fear. That's it. That's all you get. It has been proven that a person cannot think rationally, they cannot think critically. So then they, instead of responding to a situation, they react to it. They act without rational thought. When you respond to something, you actually think the situation through. But because of the anxiety and the stress levels that, you know, people around the world are in right now, nobody is really thinking clearly. So You know, we engage in a lot of action that doesn't go anywhere. And what we talked about this last month, you know, the protests that we go out, what do those really accomplish? We have to pay for the state to bring out paramilitary troops on us to, you know, to put their sniper rifle scopes on us, to beat us, to gas us. And we pay for this out of our tax money because there's a great expense in that. And
well,
yet if we just don't spend, they can't arrest us, they can't beat us, they can't do any of that. And that's not something that any of us have to actually go out of our way to do. You know, we don't have to get together in a big, huge group and say, hey, we're going to, we just do it individually.
Well, that's also a big idea behind Tax-Free 15 is not only individual accountability, but the idea that when we go out en masse, we're subject to all kinds of hassles, and not to mention what you were just talking about with, you know, it costs money to get in your car and drive sometimes hundreds of miles to be part of a big protest. And you got the signs, and then you're going to have to get lunch, and then you're going to have to get gas, and then you're going to have to spend some more money getting something to eat if it's an all-day affair, and a lot of times it is. And good, hard-working people are spending their money to go out there to support Sarah Palin, who's all about using the war card in Iran. I just don't get that at all. And they're also targets for provocateurs. You can be hassled. I mean, people who haven't seen the militarization of the police ought to see the G20 last year. And look at what happens when these bankers come into town and they imposed martial law. They used LRAD, long-range acoustic devices. They harassed the students who were there. This was a total shutdown for bankers. Our military does not understand yet that they're not protecting our country. They're protecting bankers. And we give ourselves the opportunity, or when we go out there, we present the opportunity of a target. And I'm not about making myself a target. You know, what I am about is deciding that, look, this has gone far enough. And if they want to line up a bunch of their goons who are all dressed in their full battle regalia with their batons, with their shields, with their helmets and everything else, if they want to be out there dressed, well, good. In my opinion, the only person who's they can fight is the guy right next to them dressed exactly the same, because I'm going to be home. I'm going to be home. I'm going to be gardening. I'm going to be in my community that I'm forming, making friends, making sure that I've got water, I've got food. You know, I'm not going to be part of it because that's an energy drain. The more energy we put into the system that's failing, it's a drain. But when we put energy into our own lives, when we start to realize that, hey, if we just turn our back on the system anyway, it can't go on without us. We are the worker ants. We are the real force behind everything. If we withdraw that support, they're not going to have people to tax. Can you imagine Nancy Pelosi having to drive herself,
God
you know,
forbid.
Or fly her own plane?
God forbid.
Yeah, and that's what I see. And if enough folks finally get that idea of all of a sudden, imagine during, okay, now May 15th, so we all start to keep our money in our pockets that day and we prepare. The whole idea, folks, is to prepare to stay home collectively, though, using our greater numbers. There are over 6 billion of us, and these same criminal bankers are in the background. We've got to come together and unite. Divided we fall, united we stand. And they'll keep taking us down individually. There's about ready to be 16,500 more IRS agents to do that. And again, we have the numbers. There are so many of us here who could do this, who could just pull out of the system. It doesn't cost you a thing. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have to get any gas. Don't spend any money in the system. And start to prepare yourself to keep up with the updates. If you sign up at tax-free15.com, when we have the numbers, maybe it's in 2 months, maybe July 4th, you know, we're kicking around the idea of maybe July 4th staying home for a week, because it sure isn't getting any better here. And can you imagine the power that we'd have, Randy, if all over the world, a billion people maybe stayed home for 5 days? 5 days, nobody went to the store, nobody went out unless they shopped at a local mom and pop. Nobody bought anything from a corporation. Nobody watched TV, which is programming, and it's not called programming for nothing. Can you imagine?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can. Actually, you know what? Let me tell you, let me give you an example of such a strike, okay? I know a lot of people don't remember this, but back in the 70s, we had this little gas crunch that was going on. You know, people had to line up for hours to get gas. There was no gas.
Yeah.
Now, the people got upset about this because gas prices were just skyrocketing and skyrocketing and skyrocketing, and people got upset about this. And they went on a national gas strike. One damn day. One day. And less than 1% of the population engaged in this. But that 1%, or about 1%, that 1% that did engage in it, though, you know what happened? That very next morning, gas was down 33%. Because the amount of people that didn't spend money on gas that day hurt them so bad they had no choice.
Yeah, and it would really happen if we could come together and do that. So that's basically the whole point around the 15th is don't buy, don't comply, and ask why. Don't buy anything from large corporations that day, folks, not a single solitary thing. If you have to shop, go to a mom and pop, but nothing from corporations. And I also heard Max Kaiser the other day on Alex Jones, and he talks about boycotting Coca-Cola and says that actually Coca-Cola is owned by the IMF. And since they've been IMFing all of us for all these years, I think it's about time we return to favor. He has a good idea, too. Let's not buy anything from Coca-Cola. That's an easy thing, but you have to start reading labels. Besides, Coca-Cola is going to kill you anyway. It's one of the worst things you can put in your body. But we really can start to make a difference. So don't buy into anything that the government tells you also. There's two ways here. It's no shopping, but don't buy into any of the official lamestream media reasons as to why something happened. Number two is don't comply. Put your savings into locally owned and community banks and credit unions, or leave only what you need to cover monthly bills. Work at getting off the grid and forming co-ops within communities. The markets are rigged. I mean, we just saw last week where the stock market took a dive of 1,000 points in about a half an hour. Ridiculous market manipulation. Shorts and puts, and we're the ones who take it in the shorts and pay for it every single solitary time. We've got to stop participating in that. And number three is ask why. You know, why are we allowing our Constitution to be ignored? Why are we allowing Wall Street to make up these games? Oh, let's see, I'm going to bet 1,000 shares on Goldman Sachs profiting this week. Oh, yay. You know, I mean, we just allow this ridiculous criminal minority to keep it up, and they're raping us every day we go along with it. So we need to pick up the phone too, folks. Tell those misrepresentatives that we know what they're doing. They have been served the Articles of Freedom. Now, if you haven't heard about those, the Articles of Freedom were the culmination of Continental Congress 2009. They list all the violations, well, not all of them now because they just keep happening on a daily basis, but numerous violations they address. The illegal undeclared occupation, illegal immigration, gun control. They do pretty much everything that we're so fractionated about in our different groups is addressed in the Articles of Freedom, or are addressed in the Articles of Freedom. And you can find those at articlesoffreedom.us. You can also find a link on taxfree15.com. If you sign those, know that your representatives, your misrepresentatives, have been served. They're obligated to respond. Now, they haven't yet, which is really no surprise. But just a little over 7,000 people have signed them. And you don't have to agree with everything in the articles in order to still sign your name and want the Constitution to be reinstated as the supreme law of the land. Because we will have to go through and figure it out later, but at least it gives us a place to start, and I like that. What do you think about that, Randy?
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, again, I just want to refer everybody back to a comment that Jefferson had made a long time ago. Jefferson said that when we leave the land and we move into the cities, we will lose our freedom. And if we look back to what society was like in Jefferson's day, it was small groups of communities working together, creating co-ops, if you will, engaging in trade with one another, supporting each other's community. That's what society was. That's what family was, and society was just a natural growth factor of family.
Right.
And if we stop engaging in their system, we got to remember that, okay, this is their system, their manufactured reality. Because reality is we need food, we need water, we need shelter, we need clothing, and we need some sort of a social structure, friends, family. That's reality. Anything beyond that is manufactured by a system with an agenda. We got to keep that in mind. So as you go through your day-to-day, you know, life, look at everything around you and start to realize where this stuff comes from, who makes it, what it's about. You mentioned Coca-Cola. You know, let's not just boycott them because they're Coca-Cola and it's bad for you. Let's also boycott them on the moral ground that they supported Hitler and the Nazi regime. They helped Nazis escape Germany after World War II. They're not a good company.
They're not. And, okay, now Max Kaiser has said that they're the easiest corporation to target.
Oh, they bring down
their shares. And the reason why to focus on one corporation is because we've got to do it one at a time. They've got to start feeling it. And once they do start feeling it and their same games are used against them, there'll be other traders that see that their stock is starting to go down. Once that happens, then other people will be betting that their stock will go down further. So then you got the shorts and the puts and all the rest of it. But it can start to magnify. And if we can get into the habit of doing this, folks, of knowing that at least one day a month we're not buying anything from any corporations, and the rest of the time, if we can pull out from Coca-Cola, if we can start to educate ourselves about what really we should be doing with our money. And now just earlier today, I think the gold market was up $30. The gold now reached a new high. Of course, now it'll go up and down and back and forth, and that's all manipulated. All the stock market is manipulated. It's really difficult to figure out what to do with your money. But if your money is not in your pocket, it's at the mercy of wherever it's being held. And if it's being held by these banksters, they're using it against all of us. When if you get your money now, silver is still less than $20 an ounce. You know, junk silver, things like that. Something at least, folks, to try. I'm not a financial expert, but this market, this economy, I've heard from more than one expert that anything that you have that's a piece of paper is just going to be that in the long run. And if you've got savings or CDs, you got to figure out how much interest you're really making, how much the inflation interest rate really is, and whether or not it would be worth it to you to take a hit when you withdraw your money in order to buy yourself storable food and water filters and things that you need to make sure that if the worst case happens, you're prepared. If there is a nuclear attack, God forbid, you know, they've got a practice coming up here, I think the 17th or the 16th, across the country. We're being set up, folks, and we've got to be prepared. You've got to have community, and you've got to pull off the grid as much as possible and form community.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to jump in here and say something really quick. You know, we're talking about the protest rally, save your money, stay at home. I went to a rally. It was only about 2 hours away. You know, it was my duty to go, so I went. It was something I believed in. You know, at the end of the day, it cost me $150 to get there and back home. And I thought about that, and I realized that, you know, that $150 I spent, the rally didn't do anything. Nobody really showed. You know, a city of a million people, and this is an issue that affects every single one of us, and nobody showed. Maybe, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred people. So what was the point? I wasted $150. And I realized also at that point that $150 could have filled two week bug-out bags. Minus the bags themselves, but two complete bug-out bags for 2 weeks, two bags. I could have filled them with that $150. I could have bought 150 cans of beans. I could have bought a ton of rice. I could have bought a lot of things that would have been good for me and my family. But instead I went to a rally that I knew was going to have no impact whatsoever. And all of these suggestions that you keep bringing up, Karen, have impact with very little consequence to the individuals engaging in them. In fact, they can't come arrest you for not spending. They really can't.
No, it's not about telling people not to pay taxes, because you can't do that now. The IRS are like the mafia. They'll come and they'll take you down until millions of us can actually stand up and say, no more, I'm pulling out of the system. You know, we could change things overnight when enough people finally say, I have had it. I've just had it, but still we don't do it. So I keep doing it myself. I keep letting people know that, look, this is the way to go. And actually, after all my, I talked for about 3 months straight, I'm starting to really get my life back and enjoy the fact that I've got it back. You know, I don't have to be doing this. I look around, I am right where I want to be. I'm right where I want to be, and instead of enjoying it and living my life, I spent so much of it trying to save everybody else that I lost my own self for a while. And now it's great, you know, because it's part-time. I can manage it. I can give people the idea. I still think it's the best idea out there is just to prepare to pull out, you know, watch newsletters, make yourself as self-sufficient as possible, and get ready. Because if you're prepared for at least 3 months, which is, you know, it's better to be prepared for at least 6 months, but at least 3 months, you know, and we strike for a week, and you've got your supplies, you're ready. You are ready.
Well, not just that. Look at the people in Nashville.
Yeah.
Many of them wish they had 3 months' supplies worth of food right now.
And
where is FEMA? Where is FEMA?
They put the same bozo in charge of Nashville, who was in charge of Katrina. I don't remember his name, but that was we read that in an article, I think, last week. But, you know, there is something about this, too, and this may sound harsh, but a lot of those good old boys are singing songs that are pro-military, pro-government. They think that they're pro-country, but it's pro-government, and they're about to find out now just what this government is really about.
Well, I agree with you. I, you know, I say a lot of things and I tell people a lot of things about what's coming, and I, you know, it's not, these are not things that I guess at. These are because I've read over 700 books. I mean, probably over 1,000 books written specifically by people who were in charge of creating the system that we now live under. And they all, every single book, every single one of them, all said the exact same thing. It didn't matter whether they were talking about genetics or they were talking about child psychology or sociology or consumerism or marketing. They all said the same thing. This is the plan. This is why we're doing this. So when you have 1,000 books, you know, 700, 1,000, whatever the number is, just one book even, The First Global Revolution, written by King, published by the Club of Rome in 1972 or 74. You want to get the first edition if you read it. The second editions came out are missing something like 80 pages. But the first edition, they all, that one book told you everything, everything that was coming.
It does. They make it a point to let us know what's coming, just like that movie with Nicolas Cage, The Knowing, I think it was. That
The Knowing.
Yeah, the Gulf oil spill. That happened, you know, and actually I heard another thing that was very interesting about that Gulf oil spill was they had a surprise inspection by the Bureau of Land Management, who left 2 hours before the explosion. And now you've got, this is just going to be absolutely horrendous. The Gulf Stream is going to take that oil everywhere, and you put that on top of the Nashville and the Tennessee flooding, which is horrible, but you got people like Toby Keith who are so pro-war and pro-American, but they got lost in the Tea Party kind of right-left paradigm, and they're singing songs about, yeah, that's how we do it in America, you got to buckle up, you got to pay more taxes. Well, that's a lot of crap, because our taxes don't go where they're supposed to go. They go to these bankers. And so these guys are going to get a wake-up call here. You know, I certainly hope that we don't mismanage it like Katrina, but they're going to start to see the government is not our friend. Protecting your country, I love my country. I am all about protecting my country. I am not about protecting my government or protecting criminals, not in the least. My country is a different matter.
Karen, you've got a caller on the line that would like to ask a question, bring up a point or something. You ready to take some calls?
Sure.
All right, hang on a second. Caller, area code 501, you're on the air.
Absolutely. Hi, this is David from Arkansas. How are you guys doing today?
David!
Good, David. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Hanging in there in spite of all the crap that's being thrown at us. The government's just kind of off doing their own thing. It's just ridiculous. There's a lot of divide and conquer, you know, going on with the left-right paradigm, you know, with this, teacher out in California, you know, trying to start a race riot. You know, they'll crack down on the G20 protesters when people have a legitimate grievance, but they'll certainly stand by and let all those illegals sit there and riot. It's absolutely ridiculous what's going on. You know, people just need to kind of get over themselves. You know, we're not all equal. We're all different individuals, but we need equal protection and equal opportunities under the law, and it needs to be consistently applied to everyone. And we have discrimination, and we also have people that seem to be above the law. The government's not even following their own rules anymore. They're just doing whatever the hell they please at the expense of all of us, and the entire mass of population across the entire globe is just fed up with it. You know, the anger is growing, and we need to do what we can to channel it into, you know, peaceful resistance. That's why I am a firm supporter of this strike, because we can all do our individual parts as individuals, you know, to fight back against the system. If everybody, like you said in a previous show, just did just a little bit every single day, it's going to be felt in a very massive way. You know, getting involved with the Tea Parties is all fine and good, but the problem with the Tea Party is, with any organization like that, it gets co-opted. You know, like Sarah Palin and all this, you know, BS. It's, you know, taking it off in completely the wrong direction. We need to stand as individuals. They cannot co-opt 300 million sovereign individuals in this country, but one at a time.
Amen. And also, I heard you the other day, Dave, talking about, you know, just ignoring the government, and I agree. I think we need to do that. We need to pull our energy out of the government. And then when you also brought up the illegal immigration, man, they had riots down there in Santa Cruz. They broke all kinds of windows. There were stabbings. They started fires, a fire at a restaurant that actually had people in it. And you don't hear the media going crazy about that, but you hear them trying to make patriots and people who stand up for the Constitution violent, and yet they allow all this other horrible, they allow horrible conduct and justify it and try and divide us against each other, you know, and I agree that we deserve equal protection, and you're right, we're not all equal, but we've got the same essence. We're just people, but we've got to realize we've all been manipulated.
Absolutely. And the good news is with all that is, you know, Alex kind of proved that with, you know, opening up the phone to Hispanics, that the legitimate, you know, legal Hispanics here are against all of this stuff. You know, I lived in Mexico for, you know, a good little while, and the Hispanic people that I loved them, you know, that they were great people with good work ethic and good morals. I'm happy that they're here. They're an asset to this country. These illegals that are, you know, criminals, you know, going over the border doing criminal acts, murdering ranchers and, you know, setting fire to things and, you know, having a chip on their shoulder, you know, trying to take over the country. We can't have that. If you're not here legally, get the hell out of my country. You don't belong here. You know, go through the right proper channels, become a citizen the right way, and then we'll embrace you.
Well, I think we also need to focus on the real lawbreakers, and those are the employers. That if we came down on the employers because it's illegal to hire someone without the proper documentation, we wouldn't have a problem.
A friend of mine came up with a brilliantly simple idea that, of course, our government would never embrace as far as taking care of the illegal problem. You let all the illegals take advantage of all the services that they want, the medicine, the welfare, all of it. But you send a bill to their host government and take it right out of the trade where the Mexican government ends up having to pay for all the services that all of their nationals are taking. And at that point, it will be in Mexico's best interest to keep their people home.
Well, that could work too. But I really think we need to go after the employers. If there were no jobs here.
Oh, I agree. It's the employers. I mean, I want to actually, you know what, if you don't mind, I would like to read a billboard that was at a protest recently. And this is being held by a Mexican here. It says, give us free, and free is underlined, health care, free jobs, no taxes, free house, free food, you owe us America. O is underlined twice. Under that it says, we will shoot more police in Arizona until we get free. That was in red.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now, if I went out to a protest with that sign that said, give me back my country, my freedom, my money, I will shoot police until I get my freedom, I would be arrested immediately.
They'd probably shoot
you.
I would be on the ground. I would be getting stomped by the cops and getting arrested. I would then be thrown in jail for a very long time. And he's just out there, and I can't see a single cop. And there's a lot of people in there, but I can't see a single cop anywhere. So, you know, who knows?
It's a ridiculous double standard.
Oh, it is. But something else though. You know, La Raza, La Reconquista, all of these groups. You know, if you look back into the history of their founding, you'll find out who really founded them. And it's the same people that founded the groups like the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's the same groups that, you know, reinvigorated the militia movement back in the 50s in the U.S. It was the CIA.
Yep.
And this is openly stated on document. You know, the John Birch Society, created by the CIA, on record, openly, publicly available to anybody. So many of these groups that we belong to were funded by and started by the CIA. So now when the CIA is playing the militia groups, you know, and the Patriots against the Mexicans, well, they're really just playing this two of their pawns against each other. So what are they really trying to distract us from is the question.
The bankers in the background.
Yep.
Stealing from everybody. Yeah, every way that they can to divide us and to pit us against each other. And, I mean, I can't blame people for wanting a better life.
No,
and,
not at all.
You know, I might do exactly the same thing. If I was down there, my parents needed money, I had brothers and sisters, I might try to do it too. You know, but if there were no jobs, we wouldn't have a problem. And then, though, the cop and attitude, they're not in integrity either. I heard the Hispanic woman who was talking about, we're going to pick up our shovels and our axes and our picks that we use to farm the dirt, and we're going to use them against you. And, you know, yeah, she's angry, but I still have a hard time reconciling the fact of having integrity within that anger. It's like, wait a minute, just slow down a second. Yeah, granted, you shouldn't be here without your paperwork. So, and yes, we understand that you're here because you want a better job, but think about that before you say something that is so out of alignment with being grateful to even be here.
They should be down in Mexico with their anger trying to take their country back. I'd support them doing that.
That would be a very good way to channel their energy.
Oh, it would be. But again, it comes down to personal responsibility. And I think that is what is truly lacking in this country anymore. And, you know, I got to say that I don't blame the people for it, okay? It's not their fault. This feeling of apathy that we all have, it's not the people's fault. If
yeah.
you look back through government documents, you'll find that, you know, as early as the, you know, as the 1911s, they were talking about ways to chemically castrate or to chemically lobotomize the people. If you look at Bertrand Russell, he openly said, we need to start getting kids on drugs as early as possible. And when you look at Prozac, it's 90% sodium fluoride. That big-ass horse pill
awful.
You swallow, that your kid swallows two or three times a day, 90% fluoride. Now, if we look back to what Hitler said, hey, I use sodium fluoride to pacify the Jews and all the other concentration camps, you know, slaves. And, well, I was just doing what the U.S. was doing already. They're the ones that did the research on it. They're the ones that did the studies, and they're the ones that are doing it now as we speak. What do you want me for?
Actually, I heard it was first tested out in the Soviet gulags and then in the Nazi concentration camps.
Well, I know the U.S. I've actually checked. I've actually read the documentation from the U.S. where they were testing it in 1911.
Were they?
Yeah. In fact, there was a very definitive document put out in 1920. A very definitive document on the final word on the effects on fluoride, not just on the body itself, but chemically what it does to your brain neurologically. Very definitive study came out in 1920 before the Nazi Party even came into play.
It's not just fluoride. A lot of the other stuff that the pharmaceuticals are doing is just absolutely evil. You said something earlier about responsibilities, and I completely, 100% agree with you. Everybody's just whining about rights, 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 but nobody's talking about responsibilities. If we want to have our rights and have our freedom, we have the responsibility to be involved in the process. That's the whole point of, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. If the people aren't involved, then, here we go. We have no representation. And that's what happened.
Yeah, but now that's a catch-22 because now these people who are waking up are thinking, okay, I can get involved in my government and I can help it. And then they're co-opted into the tea parties and they're not seeing that they're being distracted again from the bankers in the background, but they believe that they're helping because they're finally becoming involved.
Absolutely. Well, they need to see through the left-right paradigm, and a really good way to start doing that is to follow the money. You look at where the money's coming from, the lobbyists, the campaign contributions, and what the politicians are doing, with the pork barrel spending, and where the money, gets going. Who's making record profits during this economic disaster? Just follow the money, and it becomes very clear what's going on.
Well, you mentioned playing the left-right paradigm. That's something I want to point out here as well. I know a lot of people out there support Ron Paul, and he says a lot of good things. Thank the man for what he has done. But again, though, follow the money, follow the voting record. If you look at Ron Paul's voting record, it's not as constitutional as we all think it is. He's voted on a lot of things that were unconstitutional as all hell, and has gone on record as saying he would not rescind them if given the chance, because he likes those bills. In fact, on the constitutional rating for all congressmen I looked at, he doesn't rank very high on the constitutional scale. This was actually put out by a government watchdog who rated all the senators and the congressmen. As far as conservatives go, he doesn't rate very high on his voting record for constitutionality. In fact, he's probably in the bottom third.
Well, as far as I know, I don't think he's answered the article of the freedom either, and he's been served before by Bob Schultz with violations and petitions of redress, and he's blown them off too.
Until we reform the campaign finance and get rid of the lobbyists and all this special interest money going back and forth, we're never going to see anything in Washington change.
Exactly. We've got to strip corporations of their personhood too. That's a big one. Because right now, our country's a corporation, and we've got all these bankers who are just running everything, and we cannot be free. If you owe money, you can't be free. So how anyone in America can think now that we're free, I don't get it. They're missing the point. When you owe money, you got to dance to the tune of the person you owe the money to, and that's all Obama's doing.
I am not in debt. I am a free man.
There you go.
No one anything.
Man, we weren't. We're a couple dollars in debt, working at getting out of it. But boy, is it a trap now, and credit cards now with, your interest is only 25.24%. Like, great.
I remember I had a credit card that was a fixed rate of 7% a few years ago before all this, just after 9/11 hit, or just after 9/11 happened. I had a credit card with a fixed rate. Lifetime fixed rate of 7%. Now you're talking about credit cards with 25, almost 30% rates. Come on. Can we say usury? Can we say usury? My God.
Didn't they change the rate on you? I had one also. I took advantage of a loan because I was in a tough spot, and they promised me I'd have 1.89%. This was a couple years ago. For I think it was about 8 months or something. It was great. And then during that time, the bank that issued it failed and was bought over by Chase. And automatically, they changed it. Now, it was better than it could have been. They upped it to 7.8%, but it still wasn't the original agreement because they can change it at any time. Any time. They can up it. They can down it. You know, they could, oh, well, it depends. So here, our cost of transferring everything over. And I froze the credit card because they sent me a deal saying, okay, now we're going to raise it to about 16%. And unless you get in touch with them, they automatically will. So I called them up and told them, no, freeze it. So now it's stuck at that level until I finish paying it off. And at times I think about why I want to do that too, but that's another story. You know, it's a catch-22. They got you coming, they got you going.
You know what, though? I do want to make a point, though. You know, back in let's just take 1968, for instance. Back in 1968, we had the Gun Control Act that came out. Now, Dulles was the individual who presented the Gun Control Act of 1968. Now, what he did is he was involved in the whole breaking up of the Nazis, you know, of Germany during World War II. He had taken Nazis' Gun Control Act that they implemented, submitted it to our government, and then had it translated and submitted that translation for the Gun Control Act in 1968. Now, if the Americans at that time had all walked outside of their house with their guns and said no, not that bill would be dead. Because these laws only exist as long as we allow them to exist, as long as we suffer the, you know, the indignation of having our freedom stripped. The second that even a small percentage of us stand up united and say no, that causes a problem for them.
Absolutely.
It should have been the Bill of Rights and Responsibilities is what it did, because those rights, you know, they're not the government's to give you. They don't come from that piece of paper. I don't care what anybody says. We created that piece of paper, and the created cannot be greater than the creator. Those rights come from us as long as we are willing to defend them, as long as we engage in them, as long as we exercise them. And the second
Absolutely.
We stop, we lose them.
A well-armed society has a lot less violent crime. You look what happened to Chicago after they took away their guns. The violent crime skyrocketed. I mean, there's so many legitimate reasons for having, you know, people able to protect themselves.
Well, you know, I as far as gun control goes, I just want to put out one point out there. Look where the Rothschild Family Bank is at. It's in Switzerland. Look for all of these huge banking families, the Milner Group, you know, the Lazaros and them. Look where all their money is. It sits in Switzerland. And now tell me, point to the only country in the world that requires its citizens to own guns and openly has military supply depots unlocked for those people to get to the guns there, and that's Switzerland.
Yep.
Now, why do they all have guns? And now if we look at the crime rate in Switzerland, we find out it's non-existent. Who's going to go into a home where everybody is packing a military-grade rifle?
Exactly.
Only an idiot. And not only that, but you know what the biggest national sport, their Super Bowl, is in Switzerland? It's a marksmanship competition.
Yep.
I wonder why the bankers encourage that there.
not only are they all armed, they're all trained.
Yes, they are well trained. It's required. It's required. It's like we used to be in the U.S. They are the militia.
Yeah,
and they're required to be trained and armed.
When you were talking earlier, too, about rights, to me, I think it's a little bit different that our rights are given by the Creator, our God-given rights to life, liberty, property. Yeah. And the other, the privileges, that's where our government has usurped our rights by making it a privilege to travel, to have a car. You have to have a driver's license and then to register the license, you know. And with the taxes now, the value-added tax they're talking about, and then a global value-added tax. We're just going down this road of absolute tyranny and no return unless we stop supporting this government gone wild, pull our money out, become self-sufficient within our communities, and let them just implode.
Well, exactly.
They're collapsing,
you know,
just all on their own.
You know, if we just don't feed the machine, it goes away. I mean, that's the bottom line. If everybody stopped buying Coke products and anything that Coke sells and anything that Coke endorses, if you just stop buying Coke, period, just stop buying the Coca-Cola products, they would go away. There would be nobody buying them.
And
yeah, according to Max, if we did that, we could tell on the stock market how well Coca-Cola was doing and start watching it fall. And, you know, it seems like a good idea to me to put it in there.
Start with Coke.
It was,
you know, every month, you know, add somebody new. Get used to not buying Coke and do that for a month. And then next month, add somebody new.
Well, I think the point, though, is, Randy, is to keep not buying Coke until we know they've felt it enough to where Coke is no more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, add a new one. So now you're not only just boycotting Coke, but you're boycotting somebody else.
Yeah.
And then you boycott a third one the next month, and you add that to the group of three, and now you just don't buy those. But you make it a trained habit. It takes 21 days to form a habit. So after a month, you've already formed the habit of not buying Coke now or anything else, and you look specifically for things that say Coca-Cola on the labels. Train yourself to do this. It's easy. Just don't do it. I haven't bought a Coca-Cola product in, I don't even know how long. I don't drink Cokes.
I don't either.
I don't drink sodas. I don't drink any of that garbage. I pretty much stick to water and juice. So, it's going to take we the people to do it, though, honestly. And that's the only way we're going to get our freedom back. It's not going to come from some, you know, white knight group that's going to ride out and say, we're here to get your constitution back for you, and they're going to do it. No group exists, and it never will. The only group that's going to do that is we the people.
And the way we're going to do it, by, you know, starving the beast, is the only real way to do it, because, you know, at gunpoint, all that's going to do is cause a whole bunch of innocent people to get slaughtered quite unnecessarily. And I can't stand by and watch that happen.
And we got a gentleman in our other in the Blog Talk chat room. He has another radio show, False Flag Radio. Gratuitous plug for False Flag Radio there. Go check them out. I listened to a couple of their shows for the first time. I enjoyed them. It's hosted by the commie and the conspiracy theorist. So, I actually wanted to do a show with them. I'm actually going to be talking to them after I get off this show about a show I want to do with them. What was I saying though? He was saying that you should start with Walmart. You know, and you know, hey, one company is just good enough. But you know, Coca-Cola, you can definitely do those. But Walmart next month, maybe. I used to love Walmart when Sam Walton owned it. Loved that place. Everything was made in America. He would not open up in a small town. He paid his people above average. He engaged in a lot of trade. So, supported him, and then his kids took over, man, and now look at it. So, you know, hey. But Coca-Cola, you know, if you want to start somewhere, start there.
If folks want to listen to the archive, Max was on this last Monday, and the way that he really put it is just, if you target one company and you keep focused on that until you really bring it down. So it's collectively, because the more people who get into it, instead of just starting a little and then going somewhere else so that they can recuperate the next month.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. You have to maintain your focus. You have to keep doing what you're doing.
And not only that, you know, he went into how that would take out the hedge funds as well. He had a very lucid argument for it. So I would wholeheartedly recommend anybody listening to go, grab yesterday's Alex Jones and listen to what Max Kaiser had to say, because he made some very good points.
Yeah, about doing it, totally, and really focusing in on them. And I was surprised to hear that the IMF owns Coke.
Do they own Coke now? I wouldn't be surprised.
You okay, so here I just found a tax poem, if you'd like to hear this.
I'd love to hear it. What do you have for us?
Tax his land, tax his bed, tax the table at which he's fed. Tax his tractor, tax his mule, teach him taxes are the rule. Tax his work, tax his pay, he works for peanuts anyway. Tax his cow, tax his goat, tax his pants, tax his coat, tax his ties, tax his shirt, tax his work, tax his dirt. Tax his tobacco, tax his drink, tax him if he tries to think. Tax his cigars, tax his beers, if he cries, tax his tears. Tax his car, tax his gas, find other ways to tax his ass. Tax all he has, then let him know that you won't be done till he has no dough. When he screams and hollers, then tax him some more. Tax him till he's good and sore. Then tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he's laid. Put these words upon his tomb. Taxes drove me to my doom. When he's gone, do not relax. It's time to apply the inheritance tax.
Wow. The only thing they're not taxed is lies. If they would tax lies, you know, I'd almost be for that one.
I would tax political lies. You know, I've always wondered about that, though. Maybe one of you guys can answer me this question. Now, my background is in marketing, psychology, and business. I handled gigantic advertising campaigns for gigantic corporations. Now, I know that if I ever said anything that was an untrue statement on TV, we got hit by the FCC. Now, most companies, they do this anyways, like Coke, for instance. Let me tell you a little story about Coke. Every year, back in the 80s, you know, back when 80s, when Coke first came out with Diet Coke, every year they paid something like $10 million in false advertising charges to the FCC, and they didn't care. They paid it. Here's your damn money. Go away. Because they were making 10 times that amount in sales. And then the FCC would go away for that year, and then they had to come back and, you know, they would extort them for another $10 million or $12 million or whatever inflationary rate increases were. But you know, like during that time, Coca-Cola, their Diet Coke product had just as many calories as regular Coke did. They lied.
Oh,
every time Coke opens up a new plant in a foreign country or they have to improve their plants here, they get government subsidies to do it. Which means that you, the taxpayer, whether you invest in Coke or not, are paying for their maintenance and upkeep, and then you have to pay, you're paying that in taxes. So they get to operate for free anymore, which is now the model for all of this, for all the businesses out there. They get to operate for free. Like all the companies that moved to China, we moved them there on taxpayers' dollar, and we made sure that their tax revenue or that their profit margins did not drop at all. Because any losses, we covered their losses for 10 years while in China.
Yeah.
All of the power utility lines that you see going up all the time, the taxpayers pay for that, so they pay for the infrastructure, and then they charge you for it, and then they keep raising you on it, and then they charge you taxes to keep for the maintenance and the upkeep on it.
Oh, it's so totally unfair that, you know, the corporations can do whatever they want. Whenever they've got a loss, we've got to cover it. You know, the insurance will end up covering the BP oil spill, and of course that insurance company will have to get bailed out on tax dollar expense. So we'll end up
having a
disaster.
Who really pays for it?
We are going to end up paying for it.
So what do? We just don't buy their product. Don't buy Coke. You guys want to start somewhere? Start there.
What we do is have a huge strike, a huge economic strike, where we just totally pull out of the system for a week at a time and tell them all to screw themselves because we're tired of government screwing us.
And if you can pull out longer, I recommend it. I've been pretty much off the grid, you know, as much as possible for the last 5 years, and within the next couple months, I'll be 100% off the grid. I won't even be paying for utilities anymore.
All right.
That's awesome.
Hey, listen, I got a question then. You know, I'd love to talk to you. I'll drop my email to you. I'll drop my email for you in the chat room.
Okay.
Drop me an email, man, so I have your email. You know, just send me a blank email, whatever. I'd like to send you an email and talk to you about something then.
Absolutely.
I'd like to talk to you about what you're doing and things like that. So
I'd be more than happy to talk with you about it.
Great. Yeah, that's always, you know, you know, anything can happen. China could get mad and launch an EMP at us. Who knows? Whatever, man. Anybody could do it. It could be Yugoslavia, man, for all we know. But once the EMP blasts, man, we're all done. There's no more electricity.
Yeah, we're lucky here.
No more cars.
To have the resources that we've got. You know, we've got, you know, ample wildlife. You know, we've got some property out pretty much in the middle of nowhere. It's got a river running right beside it. We've got 3 spring-fed ponds and another spring on the hillside that we can tap for drinking water and plenty of tillable ground. And we can exist there pretty much ad nauseam sustainably for years and years and years if we have to. Never leave the property.
So you're taking Karen's advice then, and you're starting to provide for your future.
Oh,
he knew about it. I didn't have to tell David. He already had it down.
No, but I'm saying, but he's engaging with the exact same things that you're talking about. So it's not like you're just some kook out there, Karen. There's other people doing what you're talking about doing.
Well, wait a minute. I am a kook out here and proud of it.
Is even if the better, you know, the sustainable living that we're going to have out there. I'm not going to, you know, move back into a city. You know, I want to, you know, live in harmony with the planet and nature, and, you know, just be able to, you know, exist on my own laurels, you know, whether or not things are bad or good. You know, I want to be independent, you know, so when the storm hits and everybody in the cities are, you know, fighting over the last morsel of food, we still have ample extra resources and food we can barter with our neighbors. You know, I think we've got a pretty good, solid plan, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to ride that out without not too many problems. It's not going to be quite as comfortable as what we're used to, but it's sustainable. You know, 20 years from now, we'll still be out there.
It's a great way to go, David. You know, now we've been starting to meet more people around here in this area that we live in. Unfortunately, not too many of them have even the slightest inclination of what's really going on. But they're good people, and if it comes to a crunch, you know, at least we know that they're not the kind of people who will be stealing from us and stuff, and actually they'll probably be asking us a few more questions. But we're encouraging them all now to, you know, start your gardens. It's already a little late in the season, but we had so much rain here, it was hard to get it done.
Absolutely. In the first Great Depression, 90% of the population was rural, and a lot of them were self-sufficient. Now, less
than 10%
of the population is rural, and very few of them are self-sufficient. You know, when the infrastructure collapses and nobody can get food anymore, this is going to be a very ugly, ugly situation.
It will be, and all the people who are expecting the government to take care of them, you know, they'll find out about those FEMA camps. Not a place to go to.
Where's FEMA with Nashville? Where's the government coming to save those people?
You know, that. Yeah, maybe we'll hear some different country songs about what really happens when you depend on the government and forget that the government and your country are two different things entirely.
You know, I wanted to bring up a point that was that your name? David, right?
Yes.
Dave. He brought up a point about the Great Depression, and I think this is very relative to what we're saying here. That people were farming, they were independent then. But let's also look at what America had at that time. We were the manufacturer of the world. We were producing the vast majority of our goods we exported. We grew enough food to feed the world seven times over. We were exporting it. Now that big agri-corps have taken over, we can't even produce enough food for America. We now import 80% of our food.
And it travels about 1,500 miles before it gets to our plate.
Yes. We also, something else that we didn't have during the Great Depression that they had then was gold. We had money. We don't have that anymore. We got paper. I get monopoly money, you know, call it what you want. You know, I'm up here in Canada right now, and I'm telling you, man, this stuff up here looks like monopoly money. It's pretty, it's colorful. There's all kinds of, you know, it's gorgeous. You know, it's even looking fake anymore. But those are things that kept America afloat during the Great Depression was the fact that people knew how to grow food. They still had some gold. We had a manufacturing base still, so we were still producing some goods and exporting them and using that money to help get us out of it. What do we have now?
Well, we were screwed back then, too, and I personally find it offensive that they named it the Great Depression, because it wasn't great for anyone except for the same criminal bloodline banking families who are in power today.
Oh, yeah. Well, they caused it. I mean, that's open record.
I know.
I was learning that in 86 in Rothbard's class and Hans Hoppe's class. It's documented. They did it intentionally so they could bring in a central bank.
Just like they're doing it now.
Yeah, so, you know, hey, you know, but we don't learn from the one thing that man learns from history is that man does not learn from history.
Yep.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
It is. We do not learn from our own history. In fact, in 70, I think it was 76, maybe 78, one of my favorite people of all time, Zygmunt Brzezinski.
Oh, yay.
May he be helped, maybe he be found, maybe may he find himself in you know, facing a court of the people one day. He wrote a book called Between Two Ages. And he said that the plan was to inundate the people with so much info that we would drive them into an information overload process.
Right.
That we would just hammer them and hammer them and hammer them 10,000 times a day with so many varying, with so many different views from the news and everybody else that they would shut down. But also, all information to them would be given to them by experts. And we would no longer be able to think. After he said, after a certain point, we would lose the ability for critical and rational thought. But he also said that what was going to happen, though, with all of that information overload is that we would become 30 seconds, we would become creatures of 30-second sound bites. We could not, our attention span would drop down to no more than a minute. And where are we at? And I write a lot of articles, and my articles tend to be a little bit longer, and I find that most people don't read them because, well, it takes longer than a minute to read them. Why read when I can go hit YouTube and watch a video for, you know, in 30 to 45 seconds, it tells me exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it's easier for people to watch movies. That's why some of the films, like the documentary America, Freedom to Fascism, is such a great movie to get people to start to think. But still, even to get them to sit and watch that, we definitely have a huge problem here because we have just been so trained and propagandized that we're working two jobs. Some of us, we've got some friends.
Three jobs is the average now.
They bought this huge house. They are in total debt, now getting two jobs to try and support it, and still clueless as to what's really going on behind the scenes. And they won't even have a chance to figure it out because they're too tired when they get home from work to do anything other than watch TV.
House rich, money poor. I own two mortgage companies and a real estate company from 95 to 2003, when after 9/11 hit and the housing, you know, and everything started going bad. I never did a subprime mortgage or what everybody's out there is calling B paper. I never did subprime mortgages. I did maybe a handful of them, and I always told the people, look, I'm only doing this because you really are in a bad spot, but you know what? I'm telling you how to fix your situation. So in a year, you come back to me, and I will refinance, or 2 years, you come back, I'll refinance you for free, no cost. Most of them never did. Most of them ended up in a worse spot because they just keep spending and spending and spending and spending. They're always house rich, money poor. I've never understood that. You know, I've never understood the need for a 5,000-square-foot home for a four-person family.
No, they would have been much better off with a smaller home, but, you know, prices were going down. This is a $500,000 home that they thought was a good deal. And, I mean, we wish them well, but when this really hits, when the dollar is more devalued, I mean, when more of these stock market games, too, people who have their money in the stock markets, it's just Russian roulette.
You know,
that bullet is coming.
I'd like to toss out a little bit of advice out there to people. Now, I did mortgage. I was one of the top loan officers in many states for many, many, many years. I was good at what I did. And it wasn't because I could sell. It was because I understood economics. I understood credit. I understood a lot. I understood the factors that go on behind everything that we do and we spend. I saw this housing bubble coming, and I was telling people about it 2 years beforehand. Nobody listened to me now. A lot of people that I know are screwed. So I would like to toss out this little bit of advice to anybody out there who has anything. If you're holding any kind of paper in commercial real estate, you get rid of it now. You should have been getting rid of it a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You drop it. You get rid of it. You dump it. You think the housing bubble was bad? Wait till you see this commercial real estate bubble that's about to drop. I remember in Denver when the commercial real estate bubble hit there. Downtown shut down. There was not a downtown in Denver in the 80s. There was no downtown. You could pick up a skyscraper for around 5 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, it's going to get real bad. And there's a bunch of loans in Florida, too, that are about to hit the fan.
I don't know a lot about much, but there's two things I know a lot about. I know about indoctrination, I know about marketing and business and psychology, and I know about economics. So Anybody out there who has anything in any kind of paper in commercial real estate, man, you better start dumping that trust. And if you don't, so be it. Free world out there. So I got a question for you, Karen. The tax strike that you had last month. Let's talk about that. You would mention the fact that it had gone international. Do we know what kind of response we were getting across, you know, internationally? What was the mentality of people in Europe on this?
Well, they are. It's a hard nut to crack everywhere. But we have Dietliv from WakeNews.net who translates in German to English, and he's going to start also translating into Austrian and some of the other languages over there. He was all over getting the news out there, and he also said that he had some of his people contact him back and say, why didn't you tell us about this sooner? So he's been promoting over there the economic boycott, and Jane at the taxfree15.org.uk has also been promoting it. So it is picking up. Kriglo, the artist in France, has been promoting it. Jen on Fosse's blog. They had a hard time in the UK focusing on this so much because they were getting ready for the elections that they just had. But they are fully supportive of it, so there are other strikes. And the goal is to get other people to make this their own, because this is not just about me getting out there and pounding the pavement to make any kind of a name or to make money or anything. This is just about me going, man, we've got to do something. We've got to come together. I cannot sacrifice my life anymore doing this 24/7, but I can tell you folks, you know, if you can come up with a better suggestion than preparing yourself and pulling out of the grid, let me know what it is, because so far I haven't heard one. Voting for a different political party doesn't do a thing, but standing together as people, recognizing that this is happening everywhere. You know, we've got riots in Greece. People are being killed, unfortunately, as a result of the violence there. People are going to get angrier and angrier here. Well, the best revenge, folks, is living well. Get your money. Prepare yourself. Get your food. Know that you don't have to be subject to governmental policies because you aren't prepared, because you don't have food, because you don't have medication if you need that, and because you can't feed your children. Be self-sufficient, folks. That's where it's got to start, with you. And then reach out, help your family. Some people in your family will not get it. Bless them, but you've got to think about where you want to go and who you want to be. Now is the time to do that, to really start to do that. And so we at least have people over there who have been oppressed, and they seem to have even more of a backbone. I mean, I'm ashamed of the fact that people in Greece will at least get out to the streets. I don't condone the violence, but they'll get out there, they'll pull back, they'll make a lot of noise, and we still have in this country too much apathy. So it is about starting to really figure out communities where they're not apathetic and where they will support you, and you can find places like David's found so that you can really become self-sufficient.
Independence equals freedom.
Absolutely.
Very much so.
If you are dependent upon a system, if you're dependent on somebody, on a system for your food, for your very existence, for your water, for your medicine, you know, for your fruits, for your vegetables, for anything and everything that you do, for your energy, for your fuel, if you're dependent upon a system for this, then you're not free. You are not free. If a small group of people can control whether you eat and live and die equals freedom, then I don't know what the Founding Fathers really fought for. I really don't, and it's sad, too. You mentioned this, Karen. I was actually going to bring this up. You know, I find it actually sad. Everybody talks about how Greece was the birthplace of freedom. That's not true. In Athens, the birthplace of, you know, the Senate and all that stuff, there was only about 25% of the people that were free. The other 75% of the population were slaves or indentured servants, kind of like where we're at now. You got 25% of the people out there with all the money, and the rest of us are dying, and that 25% is actually getting smaller and smaller. So, you know, I find it sad that, you know, I watch these riots, I watch the protests in France, you know, because their work week is getting bumped up to 35 or 37 hours a week, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people take to the streets every day, all over the country, not just in one place, but all over the country, because they wanted to make them work an extra 5 hours a week.
Yeah, well, and they're cutting their retirements.
Oh, this was several years ago. This was several years ago.
Okay.
This was back in 2004. This is before all this IMS stuff was going on now. This was 2004. They were, you know, but that's the thing, though. Everybody took to the streets. And here we are, truly, even if it was just for a short period of time, truly the first birthplace of real freedom in modern history.
And that freedom.
And the rest of the world is standing up for, and the rest of the people around the world are standing up for their freedom, and we sit here sucking down chomping down McDonald's and sucking down Cokes and going to Walmart and buying iPods. I'm actually kind of disgusted.
It gets hard not to be disgusted, and then you have to take a break. I had to take a break after doing the first promotion for the strike, and I'm starting to feel a lot better, because we can't save everyone. You know, I can only save myself, and now I can have time to really start to put into the garden that at least now we got the seeds in there, and to start cleaning out things that I don't need and doing things that I do need. We need to have joy in our lives. We need to be able to connect with the source. And I'll tell you, I had forgotten too for a while the four agreements. And now that I've remembered and embraced them again, it really helps me. And if all of us try to do this, it doesn't mean we are successful always, but four agreements are like to be impeccable with your word, to not take things personally, to not make assumptions, and to always do your best, knowing that your best will change depending on what you are doing at the time. And if you're sick, if you're partying, when I really honor those, boy, it's a full-time job.
Yep.
You know, there are times throughout my day that I blow it on one, I remember, I pick up the other one. But if all of us would do that and really be accountable for our actions, or at least try to be accountable, and then when we screw up, if we can come back and say, okay, I apologize, had I done this, things would have worked out differently. You know, regardless of the mistake I made at the time, I apologize for not, you know, for making that assumption. We make assumptions all the time. But if we just try to stay within our own integrity and to do that, at least it helps me. It doesn't mean I always succeed, but when I fail, it maybe takes me a couple days to go, oh, yeah, I could have done that, and then to make amends. And then my life goes better. It's easier, you know, and I believe in the best. I believe the best is possible, and that we can change things with our energy, but we have to come together and lay down our labels and the other things that divide us. We're just people. The bankers are the ones who are raping and stealing from all of us. That's who we need to go after.
Great. Well, listen, we've got 2 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to make one of those assumptions, and assume that you want to toss out your website address and get some final words in there. She's got a great newsletter. I signed up for it, and I would recommend people go to her website and, you know, see what she's got going there, see what she's doing. You know, and it's not something that you add this into what you're already doing. You know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to boycott Coke. Doesn't take a lot of effort to not spend. You just don't have to do anything. So she's not asking for a lot. She's asking for you to do nothing, in fact.
Well, no, actually, I'm asking for you to educate yourself, to not spend any money in corporations on the 15th.
Sorry,
and then to pick up the phone and call your misrepresentatives and tell them that you're participating in the strike. And you'll be doing that every month. You'll be striking until they honor the Constitution and they get back in line and stop raping the people. You know, this is ridiculous. Our whole government should be fired. And I don't have all the answers, folks, but again, if you got a better one, I'd be happy to know. David, thank you for calling in. Thanks, folks, for listening. Please check out taxfree15.com and power to the people through peaceful unity.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for coming on, Karen. I appreciate it. David, thanks for calling in. Enjoyed your comments there. And as always, everybody, thank you for listening in. Whether you're live or you're downloading this later, check out the website, www.uftreadomy.com. I've got a campaign that's going on out there. Go check out the petition, see what it says. It's not even a petition anymore. It's a redeclaration of independence and a demand for our Constitution to be restored. That's it. As well as telling them exactly how they're going to do it. Not just demands, but the way in which they're going to do it. And it's all constitutional. It's been verified. It's been researched. It's all constitutional. Check it out. So with that being said, thank you, everybody. Tomorrow I've got part two of the Waco, an eyewitness account with Gary Hunt, 7:30. We'll try and get through the rest of it there. It was an incredible show. It was too big to handle for one show. So hope to see everybody there for that one as well. Karen, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, everybody, thank you guys, and you guys have a great day. And with that, I say goodbye.